Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Reddit, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports, alongside Lori Lindsay, former U.S. international, because on today's segment, we are going to bring you all a CONCACAF W Championship preview. Before we get into all that, another special announcement. On Friday, July 1st, Attacking Third, both Lisa and I will be outside the Bank of California Stadium from 4 o'clock to 7 p.m. local time for a CONCACAF W event ahead of Angel City versus Portland Thorns. We'll be hosting a live show with special guests, giving away Attacking Third gear, and hosting trivia. So come hang out with us on Friday, July 1st from 4 to 7 Pacific time at Bank of California Stadium. I am so hyped for this. First time for me ever going to Bank of California Stadium. And hyped to be there with you, Lisa. And yeah, Lori, I hate that you're not going to be there.
Listen, I'll be cheering you on. I'm going to be tuning in. You all are going to have a blast. It's going to be awesome for you. And as we mentioned earlier, you're in a great area, Sandra. So you're going to live it up.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun out there. Of course, we're going to miss you, Lori. But I'm excited to do a live show. I mean, All of our shows are kind of live, but we never have people joining us live as well. Like, we have the live chat. This will be awesome to take questions from people that are there, answer their questions live, and interact with people. I'm so excited for that. It's about
time. Get into the chats and ask questions to you all live. So
yes, Lori, join the chat.
Oh my goodness.
It's gonna be fun.
It's like you said, Lisa, it's like we do live, but that's virtual, and we're gonna be live amongst the people, and that's really nice too. And that's gonna be like a first for A3 as well. Like, our first actual like in-person kind of live show is gonna be in LA. So I'm excited for that. It's a new step.
I'm ready for all the technical difficulties that I'm gonna have to handle on the fly. I'm really excited for that.
Unbelievable. I can't wait to just start doing like improv at one point. what do I do with my hands? Like, all right, cool. Like, it's going to be great. I can't wait for folks to see that happen.
Yeah, so if you're in California, come hang out with us.
come give just like moral support, quite frankly, that it just all goes well without a hitch or a hiccup. But we're going to be out there celebrating a number of things. Obviously, we're going to be there talking about Angel City versus Portland. But what we're really, really excited about, it's going to be a CONCACAF W event. We're going to be chatting about the fact that right around the corner, there's going to be kickoff for what feels like we've been waiting for this forever. The CONCACAF W Championship, the World Cup qualifying event for the CONCACAF region. Everybody, you can catch all of the matches across CBS Sports and Paramount Plus. That is going to be your official home for this World Cup qualifying tournament. North America, Central America, and Caribbean Senior National Team Tournament, July 4th through the 18th. It's going to be hosted in Monterrey, Mexico. 8 teams competing in 2 groups. Qualifiers, not just for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. There's going to be 4 available World Cup slots, but it's also the qualifier for the 2024 Summer Olympics in France. There are going to be 2 guaranteed CONCACAF spots, and the top 2 teams of each group will qualify for the World Cup. and third place teams from both groups will advance to Inter-Confederation playoffs. And the winners of the W Championship will qualify for the Olympics and 2024 CONCACAF W Gold Cup, while the second and third place teams will advance to a CONCACAF Olympic play-in, in which the U.S. is the two-time defending champions, having won it in 2014 and 2018. So let's maybe pick apart some of these things here. I mean, we're talking about this as a World Cup qualifier event, but in terms of CONCACAF W and how they've maybe restructured things in terms of the competition, there's a number of things at play here within this July tournament. It's not just the World Cup. It's a spot in the Olympics. It's for a future tournament in the 2024 W Gold Cup. A lot of cool stuff in here. Lindsay, as someone who's been in this moment before, what are these like extra layers going to do for you as a competitor? If you're like heading in and taking that first step into this tournament, knowing, yeah, you're going to be vying for a position in the World Cup, but there's these other added elements to it as well.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely are. And I think that's what we've kind of been talking about all along, in general on Tacky Third and then U.S. Women's National Team Hour as well, just like the heightened awareness of all of that, right? And what the added pressure, especially I think when you're looking at the U.S. team and the expectations on the team in general. So then you head into a tournament like this that's not only for the World Cup, but also Olympics that you mentioned. I mean, there's just... It is. It's just more intense, right? And it's very different than just playing in friendlies, knowing that the smallest details matter. What does that look like in the venues, right? The competition, which we'll get into, is that much tighter. And it's going to be tough. It is, quite frankly. And that's just talking for all teams, right? It's going to be tough. So, but yeah, as a competitor, it's exciting. That's what you want to play for. But also there is this added awareness of what exactly is at stake, for sure.
Yeah. And there's so many different factors that come into play with this, and a lot of them being off the field. Mexico has the upper hand playing at home, playing in front of a home crowd every time they play. And for the Americans, of course, that's a bit of a disadvantage. They've historically played, especially their most recent friendlies, in front of largely American crowds. So it's a change of pace for all of these nations and going to Mexico, but it's also huge for Mexico as a country to be able to host this and to grow the sport as it doesn't need much growing in Mexico, but to be able to do this and host it, a big turnout from all the fans. This is huge. And a lot of these nations haven't made it to a World Cup yet. So there's a handful of them that are looking for their very first bid to a World Cup. And this is where it all starts, right? This is where the momentum comes from. The World Cup has opened up their qualifying to now have four teams from CONCACAF go into the World Cup, which is bigger than before. There are more opportunities for these teams and these players. And this is the first step. And I can't believe it's here, right? Like, we've been talking about this for so long, and it all starts July 4th. That's when the first matches are, through the 18th, and that's when the finals come out. But these teams have already played qualifying, right? The United States and Canada, they had two byes, two teams that had byes throughout the qualifying tournament, and every team that won their group has made it to this stage. Costa Rica, Panama, Trinidad and Tobago, Mexico, Jamaica, Haiti. So these are teams that have already proven that they deserve to be at this point. But now the competition just gets even more intense.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Laura, because Lisa's completely right in terms of the competition getting, you know, more elevated or more intense, because there's some expanded things within this qualifier. We talked about how it's not just for the World Cup, it's Olympics and the Gold Cup as well. But within this, there's also the fact that the expanded teams in the World Cup means that there's the possibility of more CONCACAF teams being represented in the 2023 World Cup. So we know for sure there's the opportunity for four CONCACAF teams to come out of this tournament in July, but there's the potential for there to be some real CONCACAF supremacy. Up to six teams could possibly be representing in this 2023 World Cup. Does something like that raise the intensity in that? Does it almost sort of feel like it's expanding, so maybe you can take your foot off the gas a little bit? I don't think that's necessarily true. I feel like that, like, knowing that it's expanded, knowing that there is more, that there's going to be more spots essentially up for grabs to sort of solidify your place in the World Cup, that would make things even more intense.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely think I agree 100% with that. I think everyone's coming in here knowing that the game has grown and is consistently growing, right? And there's players playing on a consistent level or consistently high level on a regular basis. You know, in particular, Lisa mentioned about Mexico being the host, Liga MX Femenil, right? What that has done, just the game is growing, right? And so, yeah, these teams are going to, these players, these teams are going to show up and be ready for that. Because if that, it means your smallest little opportunity to be able to get in and do something that you haven't done before, then that just elevates the competition. And it goes back to the details, right? Because I think a lot of these teams, even we saw with the U.S. the other night, there hasn't been a ton of time for these teams to play mm-hmm. together. And some of these teams aren't even playing in this window leading up to, they're just in camp, right? So how can they come together? How can they be a cohesive unit going into these games? But yeah, it is going to be a fight. It is going to be doing all that you can to give yourself the best, put yourself in the best position to get into that World Cup. No doubt.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Let's maybe take a deeper dive on who is it? Who are the teams? Who are the eight teams that we're going to be getting a close look at during this tournament in July? We did a lot in covering the buildup to this moment. There was the qualifying rounds that took place in February and April. Lisa mentioning that these teams winning their groups to cement their place in this tournament in July. Now we've got Group A and Group B. Lisa, I'm going to go to you first here with Group A. It consists, Group B. It consists of Canada, Costa Rica, Panama, Trinidad, and Tobago. When we're looking across these four teams, who is standing out for you? Who are you going to be keeping a close eye at? Is there anyone within here who you see maybe making a little bit, causing a little bit of disruption?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this Group B, heavy hitters are Canada, right? They're coming off of a gold at the Tokyo Olympics. And when you look at Panama and Trinidad and Tobago, there are two nations that are looking for their first World Cup bid. They've never been to a World Cup, and this is their chance. This is their opportunity. If they finish second in this group, they have a chance to get through. They then move on to the qualifying for that. So I think a team like Panama and Trinidad and Tobago are going to be looking to fight for anything they can in this. I give the upper hand to Panama between those two, just in what they were able to do throughout qualifying. But honestly, it's Canada for me in this one. This is a team that is coming off of a gold. They haven't played too much entirely with their whole squad together. I'm sorry, like full starting squad. They played one over this last international break, one little friendly that they had. But these are players that, for United States fans, that you see in the NWSL week in and week out. And to have these Canadian players back together, competing in these qualifying, looking to go from winning gold to winning the World Cup, I think Canada is the heaviest hitter here. They didn't have to play in qualifying, but do they have all the pieces to compete at this type of level? And does Canada know what they're really getting into going up against teams like Costa Rica and Panama in particular? Costa Rica, this is the team that can come out and surprise you in what they do. Like, they have their moments where they sit back, but Costa Rica can attack and they can get into their offensive end of the field and put pressure on teams. And if a team like Canada gets too stretched out, that's an opportunity for the Costa Ricas and the Panamas to sneak in behind and in between those lines. But this is an interesting group. I think it's the easier of the two groups, in my sense. But when you look at the other one with Mexico and Jamaica, Haiti, and the United States, like, that, those are some heavy hitters in that one. But it's got to be Canada, right? They're the top dogs coming into this. Can they remain on top, keep a good goal differential, really show the world what they've been working on in the last year since the Olympics?
Lindsay, how about you? I'm going to Group A with you on this one. Like Lisa mentioned, the big heavy hitters, USA leading the way in that group. You got the host, Mexico, Jamaica, and Haiti in this one. Who are you looking at as favorites? Who are you looking at to disrupt some things in Group A?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think the USA is the heavy favorites, right, in that group with expectations. I mean, look at our young players that are coming in already who've been performing terrifically in the NWSL and on a consistent basis. So we have some new vibes coming into the team. And you can say the same about Mexico, right? You can say the same about Mexico. You can say the same about Jamaica. Haiti has scored a ton of goals in qualifying. Jamaica has experienced the 2019 World Cup. However, I think it's still a little bit interesting with them not playing any games, just being in camp leading up to this. How does that affect them in terms of, again, their cohesion when they step foot into qualifying? But Mexico's good. I mean,
yeah.
Lisa mentioned at home, that does, I mean, I've talked about our experience back in 2010 qualifying and playing in the semifinal against them and then losing and having to go play a play-in game for Italy and being the last team to get into the 2011 World Cup. So there's so many little details that will come into play in this qualifiers just because of the level of play has risen so much, and there'll be nuances to the games But yeah, when I look at Mexico, I mean, even just looking at Jimena Lopez, Maria Sanchez, and Diana Ordonez, who play in the NWSL, right? There's three players that are playing consistently against the U.S. competition day in and day out. So this is gone are the days, right, where people are showing up and being intimidated by the U.S. I think there's a real desire to implement each team's style of play and, you know, adjusting as needed, as you typically would within game and prior. But I'm excited. I think this is a tough group, and it's not going to be easy. But I'm excited about the competition.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm with you both. I think there's, excuse me. I think you're looking across both of these groups, and I think knowing that these teams have to play each other once within the group, that there's opportunity within some of those specific games to where certain teams can shock another team or steal points off another. I mean, I think you look at Group B and I'm looking at maybe Costa Rica and Panama and seeing how that's going to shake out in terms of who's going to walk away with a win or if there's the makings of a draw in something like that. You know, looking at something like Mexico and Jamaica, these are two teams who play each other pretty tough, pretty closely whenever they get a chance to go head to head. So is Jamaica maybe looking at themselves in a group where they have a tough group in maybe their opinion to sort of try to navigate through to sort of clinch one of those top four spots for the World Cup and say, these are the areas where we really have to target? You know, is it going to be versus Haiti? Is it going to be versus Mexico as the host? So I'm looking for those sort of kind of matchups in the group stage to sort of really kind of shake things up, even despite looking at them both and saying like, hey, here's a favorite here and here's a favorite there. It's really going to, I think, come down to minute by minute in these types of tournaments.
Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear, plus my friends in the third row, and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, when we're looking at general teams to watch here, I think speaking a little bit about this off mic and then bringing it now here onto the show, we maybe even talked about this during when we were doing our qualifier episodes, and then the CONCACAF draw episodes as well. We talked about like maybe there's a who are the big three coming in to this type of tournament, and at some point or another in various episodes, we've kind of agreed mostly that it's this trifecta of the moment between U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and we are bringing up these three teams in particular because we also have been able to see these teams in action recently. We're watching the U.S. women's national team get sort of their final prep against Colombia, a team that's also preparing for their CONMEBOL World Cup qualifier in Copa America. We've got Canada playing games during the international window at the end of June, and Mexico as well, who are facing off against Peru during their international window. But there's a number of teams that we aren't seeing in action in the lead up to this CONCACAF championship. And I think maybe we wanted to have a moment on this episode to talk about that a little bit. So while we're incredibly excited to watch all eight of these teams go head to head, and while we can, you know, certainly sit here and say, look at these areas of improvement in some of these programs, there's also some things that we're looking at and saying, okay, there's some areas here where we can see that there are programs leading going into this championship that still need some support, that still need some resources. And we're wondering how that's going to impact them during this championship in July. We were talking a little bit about, not seeing Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica's and their reggae girls, they have camps that are currently taking place right now, and I believe in Colorado, but not being able to see them get some action against international competition just before they have to head to Mexico themselves. I do wonder a little bit how that's going to come into play or impact them going into this tournament in July. Lori, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, certainly. You know, one of the teams that we're talking about and specifically was Jamaica, right? And a bit surprised that they weren't playing any games. There was a lot of talk leading up to the 2019 World Cup and how difficult it was for them to get over to France and some of the resources that weren't being presented to them. So you wonder how much of that is coming into play. But I am also curious, too, obviously, with not having an international match, but are they playing local boys teams? Is that a different direction they decided to go? Would that give them a different challenge? Those are some of the questions I have that I don't actually have answers to. But yes, I mean, I think when you look at this in general with the limited time for all of these teams, chemistry and coming together quickly with this lead up just about a week out is going to be necessary for all these teams. So it's, you don't love to see it, but I mean, just doing some of the research prior to this, it looked like it was Jamaica, Panama, and even Trinidad and Tobago were maybe the three teams that weren't playing any games since April. So yeah, what does their camps look like? Are they playing any other matches that we're just, aren't privy to, but yeah, that poses a real interesting question, because as we saw in the first half of it for the U.S. and then as you were talking about as well with Mexico, it took a little bit of both those squads to be able to come together and kind of build into the game. And when you talk about little details being big factors in these types of tournaments and more on the line, then you don't actually have that type of time to get into the games, right? No. And qualify, especially when teams, and my last point on this is, presents different challenges for everyone. Like Canada's going to present a different challenge for the U.S. than Mexico, vice versa, right? So there's a lot of things at play, and how do you adjust? And sometimes that requires tactical stuff adjustments, and sometimes that requires personnel adjustment.
These nations aren't playing games, but they are getting together, right? We know Jamaica is at their camp. We also have to look at the turnover and player personnel for all of these teams, because it's a huge conversation in the U.S. with the United States women's national team about the player turnover and getting that rhythm together. And these nations did play in the qualifiers in February, but that was a long time ago. And depending on where players are in their club or collegiately, what they did this year, to have those minutes, not just playing inter squad scrimmages at these training camps, is a huge advantage and then disadvantage for some of these nations that aren't having the opportunity to play against competition. Even Canada, they played one friendly against South Korea and they ended up tying 0-0 in this international break before that. But I can guarantee you that they learned a lot in that match, and that the players having rhythm together and getting minutes under their belt is super helpful. So the advantages are already swaying one way or another for some of these nations before they even get to Monterrey, Mexico. And I mean, that's a whole other topic about federations and funding and things like that. But it's a factor that definitely comes into play. And to the advantage of some of these nations, they can watch Canada play against South Korea. They can watch Mexico play, and they have more scouting opportunities. I mean, the United States is one of the most easily scouted teams because of the quantity of matches that they play and how accessible that is for people to be able to rewatch those and get analysis on it. So now for these nations, I mean, when you look at like Haiti and Jamaica, like they should be watching the United States and seeing what's happening in these friendlies against Colombia, because that's a great way to read your opponents in your competition. Whereas the US, they don't have that against Jamaica because they didn't play a public competition. So the benefits go hand in hand here. And the US knows that they are easily scouted, but if other teams can take advantage of that, that's going to be a huge, huge leg up for them as they head into these qualifiers.
Yeah, that's a really good point to bring up, because there's a lot of footage out there for these teams to access on the U.S. Women's National Team. But I think more importantly, there's going to be very recent footage with their 23-player roster that they're calling into this CONCACAF W Championship. So I would imagine that these couple of games against Colombia are going to be on the radar, and a little bit more recent footage that they're going to be keeping an eye on going into this tournament, because these are going to be the 23 players that they're going to be facing up against. I do wonder if, you know, that point of having footage against a USA, a Canada, a Mexico, even Costa Rica, I would put in there as well, having this recent footage, you know, to sort of go off and prepare for these teams in their respective groups, whether it's A or B. Does that present a dark horse scenario maybe for us to talk a little bit about? And I'm going to like pitch that to both of you. Do you have a dark horse in amongst these eight teams, a team that's going to maybe not shock, but give us some pleasant surprises along the way of this tournament? Lisa, who are you going with?
I'm going with Haiti. This is a team that I'm not going to say they're going to go out and beat the U.S. by 5-0. But Haiti is a team that we saw throughout the qualifiers. They had a 44 goal differential. They had so many different players scoring those goals, 13 different players. And they were a team that didn't sit back and defend in that low block. They had incredible defense, zero goals against throughout the qualifiers. But they were able to expose their opponents, get in behind, stretch back lines and get shots on goal and score a lot of goals throughout those qualifiers. So this is a Haiti team that isn't afraid, right? We've talked about that. And Lori mentions that all the time. People aren't scared to play the United States anymore. And in a group with USA and Mexico, these are teams that can be intimidating and can intimidate other nations. But Haiti is a team that has a lot of the same players that we've seen in years past. They're a team that has played against the United States historically in the Tokyo Olympic qualifiers. They held the United States scoreless for 60, 70 minutes. And I'm not entirely remembering that correctly, but they are a team that knows how to play against the United States, play it defensively, and then can also score goals. So my dark horse is Haiti. No, I don't think they're going to come out as number one in the group, but they're a team that could get through and fill up one of those four World Cup qualifying spots. I'm excited to watch Haiti.
But I also should say, though, if I was playing defense against some of these strikers we have on this side, Matthew and Sophia Smith, I'd be a bit scared. Yes. that doesn't mean these people have good game plans. I'm just saying, like, they're good. So, I'm going to go with Jamaica. They're not actually a dark horse necessarily, because I've been to the World Cup, right? And they have experience at that level. However, I do think that they, across the board, you look at Sydney Schneider, who's with Kansas City, current goalkeeper. You have Jody Brown, who plays at FSU. You have Bunny Shaw, who's with Man City now. I mean, listen, there's some players that are some real difference makers, and you have some good players in key spots that can win you games, right? You have a solid goalkeeper. You have, and those are just naming a few, right? I mean, there's others across the board as well. But I like this team. I think that they're going to present some problems for a lot of the teams, just in terms of their ability to be able to be dynamic in different ways. And so I think that is the one that I'm looking towards. And they have a new coach, so I'm excited to see what that looks like. Lauren Donaldson just taking over. What kind of energy does that bring into the camp? How quickly, again, can they come together? What are they doing in the short amount of time that's going to be like, hell yeah, here we go? Because sometimes, you know, it can go either way with coaches, right? You could be like, oh, we're still getting used to this. We're not really sure. You're trying to mix some things up. Or it could really galvanize a group, and you, and then all of a sudden you come to life in a way that you haven't seen a team come to life for a while. So in on another level. And it does feel like this is a stepping point. Could be a really exciting time right now for Jamaica. So that's who I'm going with. Sandra, who you got?
I like those two. I could piggyback on either of those. I was very impressed with Haiti and what they did during their qualifying stage to get to this point. I've been impressed with Jamaica to just be, you know, to find the success that they have been able to find on the pitch with, quite frankly, without the infrastructure around them. I think says a lot about that team. They're a team that has a ton of, you know, strong, talented individual pieces. And I think I think we can all agree that, you know, we might be speaking about them a little differently if they just had the right and appropriate infrastructure and support around them. I mean, and you can look at each individual line and sort of see all of these different individual talented pieces, you know, whether you have, you know, somebody like a Bunny Shaw, who's always going to be targeted, you know, and involved in their attack. But, you know, even from their backline all the way up top, a number of goalkeepers that can get in there and really make some noise. Sydney Schneider was you know, someone who was really broke out for them and stood out for them in the previous cycle and has spent time in NWSL now. But you know, the Swabies, Chantel, Allison Twabi is, you know, out there in the back line and in the middle with somebody like a Drew Spence or Vanessa Lund. You know, that's a name that's familiar with folks. This is someone who plays in NWSL. So there's a ton of individual talented players here. And you just have to imagine that I would have loved for this team to have been able to have had some final prep matches, right, ahead of this CONCACAF qualifier, just for their own sake of just saying, like, this is what it feels like to play with each other again before going into such a big tournament. So there's a part of me that almost, like, is upset that we have to talk about them in this capacity as a dark horse, because this is the team that kind of, you know, shocked everybody a little bit in the previous qualifier and punched their ticket through to the 2019 World Cup. So we're talking about a team that has World Cup experience now, and we're still talking about them in a similar lens that we did in the previous cycle. It's incredible. It could be very discouraging when you're sort of doing the work in this space, sort of talk about this and you're like, geez, we're still talking about this team, even though they made these strides, we're still talking about them in this similar lens. So my hope is that, you know, that maybe they do continue to sort of ride that wave of momentum that they've been doing since the previous cycle and be able to clinch, you know, a spot. But it's a tough group that they're in with, you know, the number one ranked United States and, you know, the host favorites in Mexico. And I think maybe there's an argument to be made for Mexico to try to pitch them as a certain dark horse. I think they're also viewed as part of the big three or favorites to clinch one of these four World Cup spots. And I think they'll do it, but I think you can add another layer of ambition for the Mexican team as well. And that maybe you don't want to just challenge yourself to qualify for the World Cup, but there's an Olympic spot on the line. There's a Gold Cup spot on the line. you're the hosts. Yeah. Maybe you actually want to win this competition. Maybe it's not enough to just say, okay, we achieved our goal of getting back to the World Cup because they got bounced in their previous qualifiers. So there's, I think, an added layer of motivation and maybe some dark horse isms that I'm looking for in Mexico to try to achieve as well in this tournament. But we'll see. I'm just here for the ride.
Sandra. I was just saying too, I appreciate that look in terms of Mexico and potentially, like, you know, really pushing and going for it and winning. I mean, obviously we saw the news today and we were talking about it offline about the national team going to play Angel City. So there's momentum behind this team, right? There's like a aggression to continue to build and not be complacent and by any means. So, I mean, I agree completely with you and I think that's a good take.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just, again, like I said, I'm just here for the ride. I'm excited to see it all come to fruition. I can't believe it's right around the corner. It's here. It's finally here, everybody. It's the next phase to confirm things for 2023 World Cup. And of course, we're going to be here throughout the entire CONCACAF W Championship. You can watch all of the games on Paramount Plus. We're going to have all kinds of episodes for you previewing and recapping these matches on Attacking Third. You can catch all kinds of CONCACAF W Championship content on CBSSports.com. And Lori, Lisa, and I will be covering all the games. Again, make sure you put us into your content calendar because we're going to have live recaps for all the United States Women's National Team matches. Subscribe to us on YouTube so that you never miss a show. Thank you all so much for joining us today on Attacking Third. Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your shows. We're available as video. Subscribe at youtube.com/attackingthird. And we'll be back with a weekend preview. And another reminder that if you're in California, come to the Bank of California Stadium for the live Attacking Third event from 4 to 7 p.m. local time in L.A. For Sandra Herrera, Lisa Roman, and Lori Lindsay, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.